From the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 5, we began today at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets, Jesus said. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. There was once a group of cowboys working out on the range. And they kind of alternated from time to time who was to be the cook, who would clean up, who would kind of keep house there on the campsite. And eventually, they appointed one guy to be the permanent cook. And he didn't like his job. He would rather put the horses away, make sure they were fed, taken care of, than having to worry about feeding all those other cowboys. And every time, I guess, he seemed to him that he prepared a meal, they'd always complain about it. So, you know, if you're always hearing complaints and you don't like what you're doing in the first place, you're not going to be real motivated to continue. So he decided he'd had enough. And one day he said, all right, I've had enough. Don't want to hear any more complaining. If I hear one more word about a meal of complaint that I prepare, I'm through, and the person complaining, it's going to be your job from then on out. So that was the agreement. That night he set them up for a trap. He fixed soup, and he just took a whole big jug of that Morton's iodized salt. They had that back in the 1800s, in case y'all was wondering. Cut the lid off of it and poured the whole thing in the soup pot. And after they come in from being out on the range, they sat down for their soup. And the very first one, he is watching them like a hawk, the very first one to pick up his spoon and get a bite of that soup, he took a big old heaping bite and he spit it out and said, that's the saltiest soup I've ever tasted, just the way I like it. He didn't complain. There's a challenge in cooking, isn't there? To getting the seasoning just right so that the meal is appealing and nourishes us for the journey, right? How appropriate that is that Jesus would speak to us today about the fact that salt works in our ministry in the same way. He says that you church, you people of faith, those who trust in me and walk in my ways are the salt of the earth. Now sometimes we think or can get the wrong impression that all salt is bad, right? From a medical standpoint. We worry about it giving us high blood pressure, correct? But I did a little research this week, and I found out that salt is essential, right, Doc? Salt is essential to good health. It helps to our nerves to function properly. It helps our muscles. Barry knows that from going on a triathlon competition. If we don't have salt, we're going to cramp up. Benton, when he walks those 12, 13Ks, he runs them. I'm kidding. He doesn't walk them. He knows that he has to have salt to be able to endure. It's essential to what we need in our body for hydration. It balances our diet. And you know what? For me, it tastes good too. I am a self-confessed saltaholic. I eat probably too much salt until I go to the doctor and they tell me that your blood pressure's just fine. You're one of those souls, it seems, needs a little more salt than the average person. It's a surge. It's a constant examination of our health to say, what is the proper moderation that we don't have too much of this wonderful mineral, but we seek to have the right amount in our diet. You know, if Jesus is saying to us today in our text that we are the salt of the world, then we, dear church, are essential to life in the world. We have, in words of Scripture, the words of life. And the world needs to hear from us. They need to see our works. They need to be nourished by us as the mineral salt nourishes the body and strengthens us for the physical journey. We, the church, do the same for the world. And it's essential that we taste good as well. What do I mean? If we practice our faith in such a way, or if we proclaim our faith in such a way that we're so salty that nobody wants to taste anything we're offering up, we're not going to reach anybody, are we? If we're so in your face with our faith, or demeaning to others, or judging those around us with such a capacity that we've lost our taste or appeal, then we too will be spit out and trampled on, as Jesus said in the words. We strive to balance. How do we practice our faith in such a way that we are still relevant to the world around us? That we embrace the traditions, yes, the traditions of our faith, without losing our ability to minister to an ever-changing world. That's a struggle, isn't it, church? But I think it's essential that we remember the core of what Jesus' words are saying to us today. The Spirit and the nature of our character is rooted most of all not in us, but in Him. You see, I think that's the root of this message today. When Jesus ended this text, I've got some problems with the ending of this passage. I don't know about you. I need some help here today. When Jesus says this, I know y'all heard it with me. When He says, unless your righteousness is better than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're never going to get into the kingdom of heaven. And He even said before that, maybe even something more troubling, is that if you don't uphold this law to the letter of every letter of the law, then you're going to be seen as least in the kingdom of heaven. Well, I can celebrate this much. At least I got in heaven, even if I don't uphold the law. Because He said, I'm going to be the least. I'd rather be the least in heaven than the greatest anywhere else. So, right? So we can celebrate that. And it isn't our works that get us there. You know why I say that? This isn't my opinion. This isn't Presbyterian Reformed tradition opinion. This isn't Baptist opinion about salvation only by grace. Friends, this is what our Lord is saying in our text today, because here's what he says. He says, church, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter heaven or receive my glory. Well, guess what, dear friends? Our righteousness cannot surpass the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ can and did eternally. See, Jesus is hinting here what Paul, and you hear me say this oftentimes in our sermons, but what Paul clarified as he interpreted this, our righteousness, dear church, is not built upon us, but our faith in Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness that gets us to heaven. That's the righteousness that surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees. It's putting our hope for salvation not in us, in our works, in our good deeds, but only in the sacrificial love of our Savior. Wow. That's the righteousness that gets us to heaven. But that is the righteousness that we strive with every fiber of our body to embody in our daily journey, so that we will still be salt to the earth. We don't rest on the grace of our salvation. Because we are saved by a gracious God, we want to follow ever more fervently in the steps of Jesus Christ as we minister to His world for God's glory. Isn't that beautiful? In other words, we don't do good works. In other words, we don't embody and strive to follow the commandments as Jesus spoke of today to get God to save us. We embody the commandments because God has saved us. Amen. It's a response to our faith that brings forth our desire to embody the nature of Christ to a world that needs light. You see, that's the other message that Jesus spoke of in our text today. That not only are we the salt of the world, we are the light of the world. I heard a story once where a minister was asked by one of his sojourners in the faith, one that he pastored, said, What exactly does that mean when Scripture says that we are the light of the world? And they were strolling down a street at night. It was rather dark, and there were just a couple of places that you could catch a bright light of the street light, and then there would be very dark portions off of the street where alleys were completely void of light. As they walked along, the pastor pulled from his pocket a little simple cosmetic mirror. And as he held the mirror in his hand, they approached one of the street lights very nearby. And he looked to his right. The street light was on the left, and there was a dark alley to the right. And he took the mirror and he tilted it at just the proper geometric angle where the light from the street lamp ignited the mirror who cast light into the alleyway. He said, we in ourselves are not the light, but we share the light from above to a world filled with darkness. Your friends, we are the light of Christ. The light is not in us ourselves. The light that we share with the world in need is the love of Jesus Christ that changes and conquers everything that this world may cast upon us. Friends, that's light. Light is love. Light is the hope of our salvation. Light is what conquers darkness and assures the world that in Christ we all may have life eternal. And then finally in our text today, our Lord also seeks and speaks of the purpose of our faith is to bring glory to Almighty God. I like that passage. We sang about it in Vacation Bible School when I was growing up. Maybe some of you did. Said, so let your light shine, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. For all the world to see, let it shine. Let it shine. Why do we let it shine? So God Almighty may be glorified. You see, our heritage, the great forebearers in our faith got it right. When we embody the great catechism of our faith, and the first question asked, what is the chief end of man? Or to say it in a more modern way, what's the chief end of humanity? To glorify God and enjoy our Lord forever. Friends, our mission as salt, our commission as light, is to so shine to conquer the darkness, is that we embody the taste that is appealing to the world, not for our benefit, but for Almighty God's glory, now and forever. So may we go forth from this place this day, being salt, shining our light, so that all around may know the love of our Lord and be drawn to the saving grace found in Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, now and forever. Amen.